This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
This is episode 149, one away from the big one, Valdez.
Really? What do you mean big one?
I think 150 is a substantial number for a weekly podcast.
You think it's historic enough to celebrate?
Not really.
Are we getting each other gifts? Because you can't surprise me with a gift. And then I'll feel bad if I don't get you anything.
No gifts, just I would like a little pat on the back. If you want to bring me a Taco Bell gift card, though, I won't turn it down. Okay. Like you did for our 1 year anniversary.
Yes, that was very thoughtful of me. Drab, your gift is probably still in the mail, right?
In the mail? It's way out by the mailbox. It'll be there soon.
All right, I'm waiting. Do you have a tracking number on it? I can
I'll forward that. It's somewhere in my email.
Our guy over at the post office. Maybe he lost it.
Don't worry about it, Valdez. I'll make it right.
Okay.
All right. 150 next week. This week, 149. Excuse me. You know, I missed a show earlier this week. I've never felt so irrelevant. I should just quit and move to Spokane like my parents want me to.
Oh, was that their big spiel to you?
My mom gets sappy a lot of times, and she's, you know, tells the grandkids how much they're missing out on and all that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you a question. Are they, your kids are aware of, like, your parents and how, like, they only come and see you a handful of times a year?
I mean, they don't know. Yeah, they don't know where they live, or they just know that they don't see him probably as much as they see the other grandparents. But
that's got to be hard for your mom and dad, because they kind of feel like they're not the special grandparents.
No, they're pretty comfortable. Would love to see him more. Yeah. They would love to see their son more. And it wasn't laid on thick or anything like that, but it was a couple comments.
Oh, what were the said comments?
Well, you know, we run Zillow looking at houses.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Checking out neighborhoods.
I definitely get sized to look at houses in the old Dina.
Never say never, but it's not at the top of my priority list right now.
There's a house right now in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. All right. It is right next to Mike's Crab House, right on the Magathy. You can smell those crabs.
Yeah.
All right. You can probably hear the live music coming from Mike's. That's how close the house is.
But you could do both. You could live in Pasadena and work here.
I know.
Why don't you pull the trigger?
I've thought about it.
Is it a capital issue?
when you check your finances, it's a little harder.
I hear you, man.
You check those rates.
All right. So I never felt more just irrelevant on the show. Did at like 6:45 in the morning, was there a comment made of, where's Drab?
Yes.
Nobody noticed I wasn't here until
I knew. First of all, Mike Marr came in and he had no idea that you
Marr
were there.
Should be terminated.
And I said, yeah, Drab's not in. He told, like, he reminded you and me yesterday, but I knew he wasn't going to be here today for like over a week. And so he goes, wow, I didn't know. I go, well, he told
you. Good thing you didn't stay at home and work remotely that day, Mar.
So he did that. And then there was a comment on air where Eric just noticed that you mm-hmm. weren't here, like around 6:45. This is after, by the way, I basically handed them their rundowns and did the whole pre-show spiel with them.
Isn't that insulting to you too? Were you a little put off by that comment? They don't even notice your work and you're all the extra work.
I get it. They're not noticing. This is after I basically, have done the drab roll for the day.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fleeting comment about where is he, and I said that you had off today. I wasn't exactly sure it was your. I thought it was family related, but I wasn't sure if it was your parents or not. I just said yeah, Drab's off today.
I sent in a text around 9 a.m. of the kind of the rundown of who we were supposed to have on at the Wizards practice facility
yeah.
the following day, so JP or whoever could give it a tease that mm-hmm. we were having Alex Saar on,
right,
and. EB responds to the group text, nobody knows why you're not in today, LOL, or something like that.
Oh.
And it was like at 9:30. And I'm like, well, all right, I guess it could be a little confusing. But the reason why I wasn't in is because what happened, I was with, my parents came out here like August, I don't know, or August, October 5th through like October 9th. Then they went to Italy for 11 days
mm-hmm.
and then came back here and stopped off for another 3 days on their way back to Washington State. It was my kid's birthday. They turned 4 years old on Sunday, so they came back for that. So they were here for two different little sections, 11 days apart.
Right.
Okay. So I took off one of the days. I would never take off a victory Monday or a misery Monday, so I always come in for those, and then I'll take off one or two days after that.
Yes. I'm not. I you know my thoughts on the vacation schedules, but
I'll be honest. I think I needed a day off, Valdez, after the afternoon we had on Friday of last week.
Oh yeah,
I needed a recovery day, and I think I'm feeling a little bit different than you are.
Well, all right, we emceed basically. Yeah, we emceed the auction for the Medina Family Foundation.
Some of you guys might remember that from last year that we talked about starting a side business. We were so good.
Yeah, we were Abbott and Costello.
We
were Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
But basically, Ricky, who passed away.
Who was a Junkies P1. Yeah, he was around our age.
Yeah, he and his entire family listened to the show. And by the way, that made us feel like rock stars. Not only Bit Season, but Junkies as well. They have us there to host their auction. Since we are pros, we are live speaking pros. We are performers. Yes. We are entertainers.
Uh-huh.
So we're there doing yuck yucks, and we're also, since they are fans of the show, we're glad handing with some of the family, like Travis. All right, Ricky's father, who's there.
You were hyped up. Awesome. The family's awesome. They're incredible people, and very touching that they had us back for the second year. I would say the first thing was, I might be going into MC retirement.
okay,
that's what I need to tell you.
Okay, explain, because I thought you were having a good time. We were having fun. We're doing shtick together.
It's not the Abbott and Costello show.
What do you mean?
It's the Abbott show. All right. I'm completely irrelevant at this thing.
What do you mean? Everyone loves you there.
Not everyone loves me. Like three people like me there. First off, you're the golf guy. You're out there hitting everyone up. Valdez, come hit a shot. Hit the drive. All right. And then all it is like we're riding around with guys for a little bit.
We're just smoking and joking. It's locker room talk.
I know, but
that's all it is.
There was a little bit of locker room talk.
The golf course is basically locker room talk for guys.
Yeah, I got.
But you can't, what do you mean? You can't adapt to being a dude?
I'll be honest,
a man's man? You're coming across very, like,
you know,
like a, kind of like a little chump, a little weakling.
It's not that. I'm a little out of my element. is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Explain, because I don't want you to be out of your element, because I need my Costello.
My element is like doing shtick with Alex Saar. Okay. that was a little, it's a little jabby. All right. Okay. You're the golf course guy. Yet your home field. You feel great there. You're hitting bombs. Everyone's asking you for advice and you're doing all kinds of golf lingo. I'm just an extra guy on the golf course there, right? Or in the golf cart.
No, but they like your company.
There's like one guy.
You're chatting about Hayfield football with.
Yeah, there was. That was fine. Like, but then, okay, then we get to the auction part, or not the raffle, right? Yeah. And there's nothing for. There's one microphone, okay? Uh-huh. And all the literally only thing I did for that entire hour was read numbers off a raffle ticket. I felt so worthless.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't believe this is all I'm doing. There was no shtick back and forth. There's really no time for shtick.
Well, why didn't you just grab the mic and start introducing some of the prizes?
Because you took that away from me last year. Don't you remember? Because, and then your shtick is Drab doesn't know what these prizes are. Drab thought this driver cover was an oven
mitt.
Well,
you did.
This guy's an idiot. Read the numbers, idiot.
Well, you did thought it was an oven mitt.
I did. I'm saying it's an amazing foundation, awesome people. I haven't figured out my role there in 2 years. So I'm a little bit like, I'm just.
You think you need to be more than the numbers reader?
I don't know what I need to be.
Or do you think I'm putting it on too much?
I'm trying to give people what you want. I have no problem really with your role there. I just don't know what my role is, and I'm uncomfortable with the whole thing. I'm uncomfortable on my inside. I don't feel like myself, and I just like I'm reading raffle numbers.
So like if it was like a tennis tournament. You would feel...
You would be the raffle number, and I would hog the microphone. Okay. And then you got all these... Yeah, I would do all these tennis zings, right? You know what? If you need me, is there like a tennis fundraiser? Hit me up. I might be the guy for that.
Hey, I will say I did feel bad because it was brought to my attention. Because last year was the first golf tournament. Mm-hmm. Or the Medina Foundation.
Yeah.
All right. So this was year two. Do you remember what Victoria, Ricky's wife, told us?
At
the start.
Yeah. You know what? You should show your face there again. You actually, I should be doing it solo next year. I completely forgot that she told us this. I am so glad you brought this up. This idiot, Matt Valdez, I told him last year this was a terrible idea. I told him, don't do this. Do you remember the name of the winner? The nice guy from Florida who listens to
Busy. I believe it was Greg.
Okay, I apologize. There were a lot of names, so sometimes it's just hard to keep track.
We apologize.
Great guy. Last year, so at a lot of these these foundation charity tournaments, they have prizes afterwards, lowest score,
closest
longest
to the
drive,
pin.
Closest pin, and you give all that stuff out. And then at the very end, there's always a raffle, okay? Mm-hmm. Keeps everyone in their seats, a raffle throughout the day. A lot of times you donate to get involved in this stuff, and then the money at the end goes to the raffle. Like, is that true? Oh, you buy mulligans, right? At
the beginning.
And those go to the raffle.
So you can buy string.
All kinds of stuff to the raffle, or you can just buy raffle tickets.
Yeah, or there, like you said, there's a separate raffle, like a 50-50 raffle. And then if you're buying the mulligans, if you're buying string, if you're buying gimmies, or if you're buying long drives, that would directly go towards the foundation.
All right.
So they can have a raffle separate, or they can combine it.
Easy way to raise thousands of dollars.
Right.
Easy way for the foundation. Again, Medina 14 Foundation, great causes, uses the money for athletic programs around the area and brain cancer research. Okay,
they started a scholarship.
This jokester Valdez always got to be the guy to make people laugh. All right, same as the Zing King, as they call him. Last year I told him, don't do it. It's not funny, and it makes people uncomfortable.
No.
Yes, I did.
No,
because
you did
because we talked about that you were going to do it, and I said, don't do it. That's why.
Okay. Saying don't do it like that, and then having a stoned face, dude, you can't do that.
All right. All right.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
There's a difference.
In 2023 at this charity foundation, we give out, I read the numbers because that's my only job there. Read the raffle numbers. I read the raffle number winner. And up comes, of all the people there, like the biggest bit season P1, Greg, as we'll call him, comes up and wins the raffle. An unbelievable moment.
One of Ricky's close friends.
Good friend.
Lives in Florida.
Flew up for the event.
Flew up again this year, but flies up for the event.
And what some drunk idiot always does at these things from the back room, always chants one thing. But Valdez had the microphone and did this. The MC of the whole event, the guy who's supposed to be responsible. Up comes Greg to get his, I don't know, was $1,000, hundreds of dollars. Yeah. I have no idea. I can't remember. We hand him the cash. All right, big beaming smile on his face. Mm-hmm. Pays for his plane ticket up there and more.
Uh-huh.
And
very,
hotel.
Very deserving.
Valdez starts a chant, a one-man chant, mind you. Give it back. Give it back. Give it back. The guy locks up last year, doesn't know what to do. No one is
hands it over like he's in a stick-up.
Yeah. Like, nobody else is chanting this thing with Valdez.
No. People were chanting.
Did she reject the money last year, or did he end up giving it back?
He ended up giving it back, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
I think she felt so bad taking it that this year, when we're getting ready to prepare for the auction, what did Victoria say to us?
Victoria, Ricky's wife, widow, going through a lot, needs the money for this foundation.
Mm-hmm. Who's crying because she's overwhelmed by the amount of support and people there.
She said to Valdez, she did not say this to me. She said to Valdez when he got there, "You're late." Then she said, "I didn't know you were coming back this year." Okay, she didn't say that to me. So those two things she said to Valdez. And then the third thing she said to Valdez, "We're not doing the raffle this year because of your give it back chant last year." My jaw hit the floor. She gave up all this money for the foundation because she was so mortified of Valdez's obnoxious give it back chant last year.
No,
and she was so embarrassed to take that money back from that guy because he had a gun in his back.
No, she. This is why she's wrong.
Tell her why she's wrong. She'll probably hear that.
My antics, okay? My antics helped produce more money for the foundation. I don't know.
She wants people to give willingly, not be forced to.
Okay, that might be a point.
You dummy.
He was willing. He didn't have to give it. He
could. Does this happen at all those foundations?
This happens at a lot of auctions, especially a lot of youth sports auctions.
No, this happens all the time.
They're getting equipment, and the guys who win it, they give it back.
The whole thing back.
I've seen it numerous times. This is not...
Rich guys might give it back.
I thought...
I know you like a bunch of 60-year-old guys who own their own business or something like that, and they got millions of dollars. Like, that's one thing, right?
When I buy...
If you know the guy.
When I buy 50-50 raffle tickets at a charity function like this...
Mm-hmm.
If I win, I know I'm going to have to give it back. Except I'm prepared because I'm always two steps ahead. I'm prepared to give a portion back, not all of it. Portion back.
Okay.
Because I'm always prepared if my number's called.
When the steampunk CEO wins a raffle, you can chant "Give it back." Okay.
I don't know Greg's net worth.
Let me tell you. He seemed like a nice guy. I don't think he's an entrepreneur with millions of dollars in his back pocket. Maybe he is. I don't know. All right? Especially when he made a comment, "This paid for my flight up here." All right. Hey. So Valdez stole money, shamed his foundation out of taking more money from people.
All right. Well,
you shouldn't be invited back.
All right. I apologize. You know what? Next year, drab, all drab. You can do the auction. You can ride around with everybody.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a good time.
Drab would have chanted, give it back, if he didn't have chili dogs stuffed in his mouth the entire time.
I had a chili dog at gunpoint myself. All right? They say the owners of the Vienna Inn said, would you like a chili dog? What am I going to say? No, Mike will get mad at me.
Well, I'm just saying, it's hard to chant when you got chili stuffed down your mouth. All right. Maybe we'll be invited again. We'll see.
Hey,
and then also was it disgracing her alma mater? Yeah, I was.
I know you're on fire at these things. What do you want to get into? Do you want to get
I want to talk about a couple things. Okay. I want an observation that I want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it up to me, and it was a funny line that you had off air.
I don't think it even makes sense, but it was a funny thing.
You called JP the fast food or the fast casual ombudsman of the show, and it made me laugh. And I hadn't really noticed it until you brought it up.
I want the biddies to notice this, okay? Anytime there's a discussion about a local restaurant or even a national chain, it doesn't matter. Any place, JP has to give. I'm going to make this my tilt of the week too, as well. JP has to give his commentary about all the times that he's been to this restaurant and what he's ordered and his relationship with the restaurant
and where it is in location to him.
Yes,
and what makes that restaurant special? What's their like secret ingredient or secret menu item?
So today we're talking about the Marion Barry knots that will blow you away. The controversial. I just want to get to the topic that everyone's easy.
This is a layup segment.
Let's get into it. Is that distasteful marketing from Ann Pizza?
Yes. Is it funny? Is it unfunny? Is it distasteful? The guy's dead. That happened in 1990. Is it relevant?
Every time we try to and it's not just it's every time we talk about some story with a restaurant, JP has to give these little antidotes about every time he stepped foot in this restaurant and with Dylan and what they had for dinner, or was it after soccer practice with Isabella and she was hungry
we went to.
It's fine. Like if JP has a story to tell and okay, whatever. It's fine. Tell your story. And it doesn't. I don't need him to interject every time with, can we just get to the story about the restaurant? I don't need your order every time we talk about a pizza place and what you got there. Nobody else does that.
I appreciate
we know you've been to Lido Pizza, okay?
I appreciate your use of the word ombudsman. I don't know.
What does an ombudsman do?
They
oversee, right?
They're appointed to investigate something.
Yeah, okay. All right, maybe it worked. JP's the restaurant ombudsman of the junkie.
Oh, I think that's JP's wheelhouse, I feel like.
But restaurants are his wheelhouse. How come it's not Lurch's wheelhouse?
I don't know. Because remember, JP doesn't cook.
We've all been to Ann Pizza. We've always gone once or twice.
I've never been to Ann Pizza.
All right. Well, most of us have. And we all know the fast pizza places.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've had a mod pizza. It's the same thing.
It always makes me laugh. And then, the other thing that ricked me about JP today, and I thought the guys did a good job overcoming this. So he just sometimes, I don't know what, he's not like on the same page as everyone else. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's because his mind is just working a different way. We had kind of an impromptu Mike Marr Jones session.
Oh, yes.
2 days in a row, but today about his hairline. Yeah. Okay. And not everything's a home run necessarily. Everything has to be a home run, but maybe let's just
hit a
double.
Yeah. It's not like he shaved half of his head, but it was very noticeable.
Valdez was getting in on a Jones session about on Mike Marr in the back room, and then Cakes came in and saw it, and Cakes was having a larf. Okay, yeah. So it's kind of like you guys are running point on this thing.
Yes, we're the ones who notice it.
You kind of told Cakes like this is good. This could be good for the air.
And then once I pointed it out to Cakes, Cakes noticed how bad it was,
and I was laughing. All right, so we got something here. We're cooking. We got the ingredients. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it won't be good. Who knows? Let's find out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the magic of radio. Well, Cakes brings it up today, and he says that basically Mike Marr got butchered when he went to
got a hack job.
He got a hack job at his cheap barber shop that he went to, and to us it was funny and it was noticeable that it was like diagonal. It was uneven.
One side of his head went farther up into his hairline than the other side.
Right.
It looked like a line graph. If it were going downward.
And the junkies all get cheap haircuts, and so I don't think they really the other guys. So besides Lurch, but like if this was on PGC, it would be a massive Jones session. Like you can't be a brother and have just like a horrible tape job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mars hairline is it looked like a $3 haircut from Supercuts. All right, it was just, he got butchered.
the guy didn't take his time doing the haircut.
Right,
in and out.
Anyways,
bam, thank you, man.
We got potential Joni and EB loves to belittle people's physical appearance. Before we can even get into it, JP's just like slamming the brakes on the thing, saying, "I'm just gonna say his hairline looks fine. I can't even notice it. There's nothing wrong with it." And I'm like, I like toss my arms up in the air, and I'm like, JP, let the guys cook a little bit. Let them cook before you stomp on the brakes and say, this isn't funny. Don't Joan on this, basically. Let the guys kind of work through it. Maybe later in the segment, if you know, saying
come to his defense later.
Come to your conclusion or come to his defense later.
Yes.
Let the guys cook for a second. Let me see if we can hurt his feelings.
Yeah, let me and Cakes explain why exactly the haircut's bad. Let us point it out to you. That's all I would ask.
But it was literally 3 seconds into it. That's like, where's your instincts? You let him go. Let the horse run before. And you can be the white knight at the end of the segment. Okay? Or a few minutes in. You don't have to take the opposite viewpoint 6 seconds into the segment. Let him go. Let him Joan. I want Joning.
And Marr was okay with our Joning too, because.
But if it's JP's Joning, like at the Wiz practice, then it's all go. What would happen if like the junkies when he's trying to set up a bit yesterday, right at 6:15 in the morning?
Is this when you guys had to go try to touch the rim?
Like
if you said no, I'm not going to jump.
And not me. What happens if Cakes was like, that's stupid. Don't do that. Mars got hops. You don't need to prove it, Mike.
Yeah.
Like that would be bad radio by Cakes. It would be the same thing. And it actually kind of, you know, I know it was a quick thing yesterday at the Wizards facility, but it was kind of funny and it killed 5 minutes of, and now we know that Mike Marr is unathletic and we'll Joan on him for years to come about that. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why you just got to let things play out. If Cakes would have said this is stupid or Marr's not warmed up yet, this isn't fair.
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock. No one can jump at 6 o'clock. That's fine.
You didn't. We let JP. JP had an idea. It was a good idea, and it ended up being funny. You got to let the guys go a little bit. You don't have to be the contrarian right away.
Right. I can't believe
rant over.
Okay, I can't believe you jumped, by the way, at 6:15. I would have been... How unfair was that? Very unfair. I would have thought about popping my Achilles in 5 seconds. I
know. You sent me a DM saying you should have pretended
tell everyone what I told you how you botched it.
After I jumped, you said you botched it. You should have pretended like you popped your Achilles and rolled around on the ground for 10 minutes.
I thought that would have been funny. Hey, real quick, since we're tilting.
It is embarrassing that I way out jumped Mike Marr, and I'm 42.
I know that's but embarrassing.
Dude, he could standing underneath the backboard. He barely nicked the bottom of the foam padding. Okay, on it like jumping off 2 feet straight up. He's 5'11". He might be 6 foot.
That is but embarrassing.
No explosion.
I can't believe he played wide receiver.
What high school did he go to?
I don't know. They must have a bunch of one stars. Mike, tilt of the week. And why does Jason ask Nick Dowd when he grew up in Alabama every single time he's on?
I don't know. Have we established that Nick Dowd is from Alabama? I think we have. We don't have to discuss it for the first 3 minutes
every single interview.
I don't think Nick Dowd remember. I don't know if he.
I don't think he remembers. I think he
must talk about playing hockey in Alabama every day of his life. And it's just like him saying hello to people. It's just what people say to him every single day. And so one conversation runs into the next. He doesn't know who's asking him about Alabama hockey because it is somewhat unique. But I think like we've established that on the show in the 4 weeks that he's been on. Right?
Yeah, I know.
I can't. Like Jason was taken aback today that Nick's from Alabama.
I think this, how many times have we had Nick on? This is the fourth time.
Yeah, fourth week.
I think every single interview, they've asked him about Alabama.
They have.
I think the guys are intrigued with Alabama.
What is it about Alabama? Is Alabama the most disrespected state?
I don't think when you hear hockey, you don't think of Alabama. That's what it is. Is that.
All right, but is it any different than Florida? I mean, I think there's hockey players from Florida. Yeah. There's hockey players from Texas. I get it. Alabama's a little different, but not every week type of conversation.
I don't know, but that's something that's been tilting me and is noticeable. Can we get over the fact that he's from Alabama?
I think it's I think it's a little bit East Coast looking their nose down at the South,
thumbing their nose down.
Those hillbillies. They think everyone down there is a hillbilly. What do those hillbillies know about cold weather and hockey and the only thing they know is mowing the grass or saying the tank top. Or something. I don't know. I figured it out, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
Now look who's stereotyping.
I'm saying that's what they think of. Okay.
I got you. Hey, before we go to break, I got to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Drab is enjoying his Don't Sleep right now. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to get one when we go to break because I definitely need a no sugar Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Get some today. Don'tSleepEnergy.com. You go right now. You order. You get 10% off every order when you use that promo code Biddies. It'll get shipped right to you. Props to D Woods. I saw D Woods posting on Instagram that his shipment of Don't Sleep Energy is on its way to Atlanta. So, D Woods, we appreciate you supporting the show by getting Don't Sleep Energy. Everyone get some today, don'tsleepenergy.com. When we come back, Drab, I don't think you were here for this discussion, but we talked about Aaron Rodgers picking his nose, eating a booger, and we found out Cakes is a bedwetter. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 149. Drabby, you weren't here on, when was that, Tuesday, correct?
Tuesday, yep.
There was a viral video going around of Aaron Rodgers picking his nose on the sideline.
Saw the video.
Looked like he was enjoying a boogie. And that prompted some discussion about being a booger boy. Props the Cakes. Cakes is the one that refreshed everyone's memory about the booger boy. Did you have a booger boy in school?
Oh, of course. Of course. Rob.
Mine was Daniel. So he was not, he was a,
if you don't know who the booger boy was in your class,
you were probably the booger
boy. You were the booger boy.
you got a daily double with Daniel. Mm-hmm. Because not only was he the booger boy, but he was also the boy who ate the glue in class too.
I don't remember. You see, the glue eating thing, I don't really think we had a glue eater in our class. Oh, no, Jeff. Jeff. Big glue eater. Think about that for a second.
Yeah. So, so he was the gross kid.
Did you bleep out that name?
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm writing all the times now to bleep out.
Yeah, he's going to get harassed. I know. All right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's going to be a lot of bleeping going on. What? What do you remember about the Booger Boys besides that they would pick their nose and eat their boogers?
Here's what I remember about the Booger Boy. This is just my. He was a tall, nerdy kid, wore glasses. I mean, we're talking like second grade, third grade here.
Yeah. This is elementary school. This is at Bodkin Elementary.
He wore like the most felted clothes ever.
Yes.
Like just really, everyone thought he was really, really poor.
Yeah.
Or that was the outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumor was, like his clothes were from Goodwill and had holes in them. There was always the rumor that Rob's family was like millionaires. Okay? And that they just liked to put off this. They didn't care about the money. They drove like a 70s van beater, like one of those big vans.
Hey, my Booger Boy, his parents definitely picked him up in an Astro van.
Yeah.
With the wood paneling on the side.
They were an Astro van.
They always had an Astro van.
But the rumor was that they were like secret millionaires.
How did that rumor start?
He probably started. I don't know.
I would say tattered clothes are always a sign of the Booger Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like he didn't wear Nikes or anything, but like the clothes that he wore were always dirty. It's almost like they didn't have a washer and dryer in their house.
Uh-huh.
Definitely smelly. And then the Booger Boy was always like they had a unique physical feature. Like he had like blonde curly hair. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like a Booger Boy is always a ginger, blonde curly hair. Maybe.
I mean, Rob had a weird haircut, but he wasn't a ginger. He was just like some really weird comb over that nobody else had back then.
Did you tease the Booger Boy a lot?
No, the Glue Boy got teased a lot, relentlessly.
I think Rob
was too smart to be teased. Like the guy was like a genius.
Oh, our Booger Boy was definitely smart. Like he probably could have been an engineer because he was always mm-hmm. like crafting stuff together, making his own toys basically out of stuff around the classroom.
Yeah,
he could have been an engineer. But I believe our Booger Boy, who was also the Glue Boy, ended up being gay. And I think it might have been from bullying.
It's very funny that you say that.
Why?
Because the Glue Stick Boy was his $3 bill, Valdez. All right. Let me tell you about Jeff.
So hey, is there something in glue that makes you gay?
I don't know. But Jeff, I went to a small Catholic elementary school, uh-huh. 15 boys or 15 girls, probably like 13 boys or something, you know what I mean? Like 28 kids in the class. Uh-huh. And I had these kids who were in my class from kindergarten through a lot of them through eighth grade.
Yeah.
Jeff, was my first known homosexual in my life. Right? Okay. Like it was obvious in very, very young that he was built different.
Yes. Hey, looking back, I knew my Booger Boy was different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought he was different back then. But looking back on it, there were signs.
But Jeff was obnoxious. He was an obnoxious kid.
Yes, I would say the same for Daniel.
But here's the thing about Jeff. He was a computer genius, okay?
Uh-huh.
And my family was, my dad, like we were early adopters of the home PC. Okay, we're talking like late 80s, mid 80s, I don't know. My entire life we had computers in our house.
Uh-huh.
We had Prodigy Internet in like 1991, all kinds of stuff. And so we didn't have, remember I always told you we never had video game consoles. We only played computer games.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Big Oregon Trail guy.
My relationship with Jeff was solely about computers. But this kid was relentlessly teased by everyone in the school. Mm-hmm. Okay. For, you know, different time for being different.
Right? Hold on. He was teased for being gay or teased?
Yeah, basically.
And how
basically.
Old are you?
I'm not teased by me.
I know, I'm just saying, like, how old?
Probably teased by me. I'm going to be honest. Probably. I'm probably without fault.
How old are you guys at this period of time? Like, are you in your teens or early?
No. Fifth grade or so. I mean, I've known him my whole life.
I know, but
computer age.
But I could never, if I was in fifth grade, I don't even think I knew what gay was when I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, you did. You definitely did.
Okay.
You were having sex when you were like in eighth grade.
Why do you keep saying that? I was not.
Okay. All right, let me tell you. We had a computer problem at our house. And Jeff also promised me, because I remember where I was when he told me this, that he was programming me a basketball computer game. He was trying to buy my friendship.
Yeah, I know. I can see that.
This kid was so teased. Yeah. He was looking for friends.
Yeah, look
and so
what I can do for you.
He told me and my friend Andy that he was literally building us a computer. And we would give him details about what we wanted in the game. And he was taking notes of it. Okay. Clearly lying to us. But we literally thought he was going to bring us on a floppy disk back then. I don't think it was even a hard drive, a computer game. Okay. He told us every day. He was at home working on us, asking for details. The guy didn't even know what a basketball was. Okay.
Maybe he thought you were attractive.
I think he was just looking for friends.
Yeah, of course.
But every day during recess, I remember for like a month straight, we were giving him details about what we wanted. We were so stupid. What we wanted in this computer game. Because at home, I was playing Lakers versus Celtics. And he told me he was going to build us one from scratch. Sure enough, the computer game never came. Right? Yeah. He kept delaying it and delaying it.
Hey, it's like the new Grand Theft Auto.
Believe me, I know how to wait for a video game. But one day we had a PC issue. I don't remember what it was, but my dad knew that Jeff was the computer genius at school. And he told me that he would buy me something, right? I don't remember what it was. He would get me something if I would invite Jeff to come over to our house to fix our computer.
So your dad was bribing you to get the computer nerd over to fix the computer.
No, I was to say this. My dad was bribing me to invite the gay computer genius kid in fifth grade over to our house. Okay. Uh-huh. What happened was, and I knew this, my brothers are bullies. They didn't bully Jeff. They bullied me.
Because you were the one who let Jeff in.
I invited Jeff over to our house to fix the computer. And so for the next 5 years, my brothers made gay jokes about me and Jeff together, carved our names in the trees, were punching me, calling me, you know, all the words you can't say anymore, saying you and Jeff are lovers, you're kissing each other.
Right? You're punching them. Say you like them. Say you like them. Right. I'll stop it if you say you love Jeff.
All because I think my dad told me he would buy me a computer game if Jeff came over and fixed the broken computer. That's what happens when you quote befriend the glue eating kid.
Yeah,
my brothers, two of them older than me, much bigger than me, would beat up on me all the time, and then add in the gay slurs on top of it. Didn't make for a very fun childhood for Matthew Robert.
And then now that's why you have no gay friends.
Yeah, right.
Did you find, I guess that we always knew this because it was an old story that was brought up on air, but it just jogging the memory that Cakes was a bedwetter was a nice trip down memory lane, because I brought up when they were talking about the booger boy, I said, well, what's worse, being the kid who eats glue or the kid who eats your boogers? Mm. And then JP remembered that Cakes was a bedwetter. And then that sparked the discussion. And that was our Scotty's poll of the
day.
How
did everyone at school know that Cakes was a bedwetter?
No, JP knew because Cakes was over at a sleep. Stream. Yeah, was
would
a
JP
sleep.
Rag on him at school and tell people?
I don't
That's
know.
That's a bad friend.
I don't know if they used to do that, but I think bedwetter might be worse than booger eater.
Oh, bedwetters. At the top of the Mount Rushmore of things you don't want to be.
Of embarrassing.
But bedwetting's one thing because it can be a rumor, but if you wet your pants at school, like that is an absolute nightmare.
Oh, definitely. You would have to go wait in the principal's office for like your mom to come by and
I mean, I don't remember. I have very few, what do they call those, core memories? I mean, of kindergarten. One of them was Christina peeing her pants in school. Like, When I hear the name Christina,
all you think of is
I think of the girl who peed her pants in kindergarten. Like that's how much it's burned into my memory, and I will be on my deathbed.
Well, there's definitely a difference. There's definitely a difference between a kid who pees their pants at school versus bedwetting. Because I feel like if you're unconsciously peeing the bed, that's different than being a little.
Yeah, but they're both gross.
They're definitely
empathetic.
Gross. Yes. I think it's grosser to sit or sleep in your own urine than it is to eat your own booger. Now, one can be more voluntary than the other. Like you physically have to pick your nose.
Of all the things
I
wouldn't want to, all the things I wouldn't want to be, it would be the glue eating kid because you're just a weirdo, a bizarre, like boogers or bedwetting. You got some hygiene issues probably, or you just got some things you need to work through.
What
if
about
you eat glue? You're just you're a psycho.
What about the? I think this is more of a middle
chemically
school.
Chemically imbalanced.
This is more of a middle school, high school person. But if you're the poor kid.
Well, again, the poor kid is. That's just ripe for bullying, but there's nothing at your core that you can do about that. And I think a lot of people understand that.
I think they're recognizing it now, but you always knew the poor kid at school.
Sounds like Valdez was the poor kid from all these dented cans. Yeah, what else were they talking about today? Were you the poor kid? Oh, the barber. Yeah,
yeah. The barber.
Were you the poor kid?
No, I was not the poor kid.
Not in Pasadena. You're probably the rich kid.
I'd probably be poor if I was in McLean going to high school. If I was going to high school at James Madison, I'd be the poor kid.
Okay.
There was always the poor kids, and I can't believe schools used to do this, but you would have the special lunch card if you were the poor kid, right? Because your family couldn't afford the $1.10 every day for lunch, so you got this special card that they would like swipe, that the lunch lady would swipe. And it was like a reduced price lunch.
There were a couple kids that I remember being extremely poor. One kid's dad was an ice cream man. Literally, that's what his dad was. But I will say this not to be like, I mean, I come from the most middle class family back then. But my school was, I went to, there was a tuition at my school.
Okay.
And so most of the kids, unless their mom was the cafeteria worker, which I think I've told you about that kid before, most kids weren't like...
That was my aunt.
Your aunt, yeah. He probably was such the poor kid. most kids were at least middle... It was a middle class school.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were able to get rid of that riffraff with that tuition.
Look at Valdez, he is a bully.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You didn't miss that. Like that didn't pass you by. Like I had to think about it for a while.
Of course, I was. Everyone was a bully in high school,
to a certain degree, for sure.
Yes. Everyone got made fun of too.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is the thing I will say. I definitely bullied kids. I also got wedgies all the time on the Little League team. I remember being de-pantsed and my underwear thrown up in the tree, and I had to walk home with my little tiny Johnson hanging out. I've been bullied. I've been beat up relentlessly, but I also beat kids up.
Hey, what was the worst thing you ever did to a kid?
At Sausage Fest in sixth grade, I beat
Sausage Fest.
I've told you about Sausage Fest. Our version of Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
I beat Lee to a bloody pulp. And
over what? For being different?
For being a dork. For being a dork, having a bad haircut.
If only Lee could see your ball.
I'm sure.
Down.
Yeah. I was young. I think I ended up apologizing to him years later, but he definitely remembered this. Like it was a huge moment in his life.
Of course,
because I remember even in high school it was awkward between us, and I beat him up with a plastic bullhorn. You know those things that's like,
yeah, it almost looks like the Canadian blowhorn,
like a
vuvuzela.
I beat him up with a vuvuzela.
No, I remember the long Canadian.
I don't think it's plastic, but I just remember whipping him with that thing and chasing him around the field at night, and him tripping and falling, and me giving him the beat down. And sure enough, I was busted, and I was dragged by my earlobes back to the office, and I got in so much trouble.
Do you know what we did? We held a kid down, and we took poison ivy.
See, that's like real. But at least it's real, like menacing stuff.
We took poison ivy.
We took a broom handle.
No, I mean, come on. We took poison ivy and rubbed it all. Lifted his shirt up and rubbed it all over his chest.
That is pretty.
But that's the stuff that we did.
That's pretty bad.
Our world.
We made him eat it, and we poisoned him, and he puked all over the place. Left him to die.
No, hey, my world growing up, I think, was a lot different than your world growing up.
How so?
Well, we had pregnant chicks walking around high school.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't have that. I mean, maybe one or two, but I don't really remember it. How many of them were yours?
Yeah. TBD. That's very, very funny. I can't slip anything by you.
Definitely. Look, I don't think nobody listening is without fault. We all have regrets, especially if you're a boy out there. You probably did some things, some bullying or some getting in fights or picked on kids, at least, that you are ashamed of as you grow up.
I was going to say, do people look at us differently after admitting that?
Well, here's the thing is you can never take those things back. Like, I'll never see Lee ever again the rest of my life. And he will hate me.
For the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life. And it's just the way it is. I can't change it. And I'll always hate Joey, the kid who from my Little League team that threw my underwear up in the tree and pants me, and the group of guys are older than me. I will hate them until the day it's just what goes around comes around. Yeah. It's part of growing up. And, you know, hopefully when you get older, you grow out of it and treat people better.
I would like to know, I would like people to admit what they did to bully someone today.
And you want to feel better about yourself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll be honest. Robin gives a poison ivy is pretty bad.
What? And then we throw bugs on people all the time. You ever do that?
No. But I tortured bugs, but I never threw them on people.
Hey, that might be another person to add to the list is the bug kid.
I was not friends with the bugs, but I will say that I've told you that I've murdered a million roly polies. Try doctor after that.
that might be murderous. Hey, what about this?
Dr. Himmler.
Yeah. Dr. Kevorkian. What about I used to do this. I used to, you remember like the Chinese containers like that you'll get your soup in?
The plastic tofu, the miso soup.
We used to get wonton soup.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, but you get the egg drop soup the clear containers. Mm-hmm. I used to take that container, and I used to go to my front yard, and I used to get a bunch of ants. Then I used to go to the backyard, and then get a bunch of ants. And did you know that if you have
front rival gangs?
Yeah, so if you have front yard ants and backyard ants, they fight to the death. And I put them in the container, and I'd watch them fight to the death.
I don't know if I ever knew that. I mean, different red ants and black ants, sure.
But that's what I used to do as a kid. Used to watch that.
Good memories. A lot of good backyard memories. Now, I have changed. I'm a changed man. The other day, I found a daddy long leg in my house.
We used to take those
in front of my kids.
We used to take those and put them on girls.
Yeah. You know what I did?
What?
I picked it up by one of its eight legs.
Did you start pulling the legs apart?
Old Drab would have pulled those legs apart, but I took him outside and I blew him off the balcony to his new home.
I used to take the daddy long legs and put them in Caitlin's hair.
Bleep that name out.
Yes.
Hey, don't they always say that the daddy long leg is the most poisonous spider?
I don't know.
Wasn't always the rumor one of the most is a very venomous spider, but they don't have the fangs to bite humans.
I've never heard that before.
That was the old rumor.
That was the rumor.
I've murdered in my.
Have you ever wet the bed? Or not wet, but actually
no. Well, I mean, but not beyond a reasonable age.
What about the sleepover?
No, definitely not.
But you would be the sleepover with all the guys.
I know what you're saying.
And then you put the guy's hand in warm water.
Oh no! Again, that was one of your bullying things that you did. You've told me about that before. And then he'd wet his pants, and then you guys would beat him with a pillow full of quarters or something. No. Hey, you wet the bed. You're gay. Boom, boom, boom.
What a sissy.
Yeah. No, I never did that. I actually like the kids I slept over at their house, even though it bums me out to know that sleepovers are a thing of the past, it sounds like. You know that, right?
I thought... EB's kids have sleepovers all the time?
I think maybe when they're older... When they're older, yes, but the new movement is that my kids haven't gotten to that age, and I've never talked to my wife about it, so I don't know how she feels. But the new thing is absolutely not, no sleepovers whatsoever, because that's where the molestation happens.
Oh.
Yeah, like that's sleepovers, I think, are not as popular as they used to be, at least among my Instagram algorithm from what I've seen.
Well,
mobs don't want, like, even because the people who do the molesting are the trusted, are people that you know, right?
Okay.
The neighbor down the street, her friend's dad or whatever. And so, I guess a lot of parents are a lot more concerned. It's like, you know, how kids don't wander off around them by themselves anymore or play outside. It's all in the same type of thing. We are, helicopter parents.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll let my. I guess you got to kind of figure it out as you go. I don't think. I mean, I stayed. Would you? How many? Would your parents let you sleep over at kids' house whenever you wanted all the time? I feel like it had to be a real special occasion for me.
Basically any time I wanted to. Although my parents used to always tell me, never invite yourself over to stay at someone's house.
I was always too embarrassed to
They have to invite you. Mm. But I rarely had people over my house because when you're young, you're embarrassed of your parents.
I know, but why would other kids always have us over, but I didn't have as many kids over at my house?
Well, you're going to call me the poor kid, but they always had like the PlayStation.
Yeah, I think probably because we didn't have video game consoles and... all that and cable TV. So my house, I always felt, was too boring. Like, I didn't have one of the cool kids' houses. And also my parents would have chaperoned. And
yes.
You always wanted to go to someone's house whose parents didn't, even as a young kid, would let you stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And then when you got older, you used to just go over to your friend's house to stay in their basement and get drunk.
Right. I do have a memory of Andy coming over to my house, and we this tells you how cool I was. I wasn't eating glue, but I did put on a performance for my family of Paul Bunyan in the Big Blue Ox.
I mean, yeah. Ox.
I think I was Paul Bunyan and Andy was the ox. I don't know why, but I remember doing a skit for my family.
Okay.
Late at night,
to this day, Drab still looks for the bull in his life.
All right, fair enough. Good thing. I deserved it for all the bullying that I've done in my life.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you something. Nothing puts a smile on Matt Valdez's face like reminiscing about the times he would beat people up.
That's untrue. Yeah. That's untrue.
That is 100% true.
That's so untrue.
I'm a little ashamed by you guys.
I'm
ashamed.
You got to
be creative. I'll give you points of creativity.
My mind was always working a mile a minute.
Yeah, planning those bits.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend, a great Friday, and we will see you on the Junkies.
See ya.
Later.